My message today is titled, The Force of Favor. The Force of Favor. Before I open the word, let me share something humorous. A German shepherd, a Doberman, and a cat all died. In heaven, all three faced God, who wanted to know what they believed in. The German shepherd said, I believe in discipline, training, and loyalty to my master. Good, said God, sit at my right hand. Doberman, what do you believe in? Asked God. The Doberman answered, I believe in love and care and protection for my master. Aha, said God, you may sit to my left. Then God looked at the cat and asked, what do you believe in? The cat replied, I believe you are sitting in my seat. Cats and dogs. In Exodus chapter 3, the remarkable and beautiful narrative of the deliverance of a nation out of bondage into the promise, into the inheritance God had prepared for them. Let's read about this in verse 17. God is speaking, and I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, lots of ites. Hivites, Jebusites, and then he culminates it by saying, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Of course, there is a contradiction, a dichotomous reality in that verse. There's some bad things, there's some good things. If you can overcome them bad things, you can have all those good things. So interesting. Next verse. Then they will heed your voice, and you will come, you and the elders of Israel, the governors of Egypt. You'll come to the king of Egypt. You'll say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. And now, please, let us go 3 days' journey to the wilderness that we may sacrifice, we may worship the Lord our God. But I'm sure that the king of Israel will not let you go, not even with a mighty hand. That's what happened. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And afterwards, he will let you go. Here's my own message. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be that when you go, that you shall not go empty-handed. You can't leave with your hands empty, no matter what season it is. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold and clothing. You shall put them on your sons and your daughters. So shall you plunder the Egyptians. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the great deliverance you gave Israel and the typology of that through Christ to us. Anoint your word, your people, and your servant today. Show the devil who is boss. Let deliverance and revelation flow, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's to, at least in my mind, there are really clear metaphors or allegories in this story that Egypt literally means the place of double limiting extremes. It's a type of the world that's been preached for 2,000 years. God's called us out of the world. But God didn't just save you from something, he saved you for something. God brought them out of Egypt and said, I have a place flowing with milk and honey, a place of promise, a promised land. That was God's will, really a portrait of living in the kingdom of God. The word Pharaoh means spoiler king. He's a portrait, to me at least, of the devil. And so God said, I'm going to conquer the devil. I'm going to defeat the world, and I'm going to bring you into my kingdom. And if you follow along the story, God sent 10 plagues. And nothing's really working. Each plague by design was God defeating and even mocking the deity system of Egypt. Remember when one of the plagues was, it was completely dark everywhere but in Goshen. It was dark all across the land because the Egyptians worshipped Ra, the sun god. And God mocked their idolatrous pagan worship system by defeating the functionality of their gods. But nothing really happened until the very end. At the very end, The Lord said to Israel, take a blemish-free, like Pastor George beautifully stated in communion, a blemish-free lamb and kill it. Of course, they had it for a meal, but then take the blood of it and put it on the doorpost of your house. And it will be that whatever the angel of judgment and death comes, a warring angel from heaven comes, if he sees blood, he'll pass over it. Now, for all of us, it is by the precious blood of Jesus we've been delivered. Colossians says we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his dear love, the Son of God, by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. All my sins have been forgiven. All the devil's power has been broken. The world's controlling grip on me was conquered by the blood of Jesus. So here we are, living in a favor as believers. I just want to say, I got carried away with this, but I'll read you some things. My first point is this: you are highly favored. You. Oh, Pastor, you must not be following my story. You are highly favored. It's so important that we have a deep and abiding belief and understanding of what that means, what the favor of God in my life means. It doesn't mean everything's always going to go good circumstantially. It means that I have a position and I have a relationship with God that no one can take from me. So let me say some things. If you're a born-again believer, anybody born again in this place? If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you have already experienced and are presently living in the greatest quality of favor available on this planet. There's no higher favor than Jesus. Say it again, I'm highly favored. You are highly favored. All of your sins have been forgiven. Come on, that makes me want to do a little dance. All my sins. Psalm 103 says, who forgives all your iniquities? They're all gone. Ephesians 1 says, by his precious blood, we've been forgiven and redeemed. You're highly favored. You've been given the gift of the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not your own achieved righteousness, but your received righteousness from Jesus. He's perfect, and he gave me his perfect right standing with God. You can't get better than that. You're highly favored. You're highly favored. The enemy's power and weapons against your life have been defeated by the... If you read this story, the enemy and his army drowned in the Red Sea. You're highly favored. There's no higher favor than knowing Jesus and his saving grace. Elbow someone and say, yeah, I'm highly favored. You're highly favored. You've been adopted into God's family and are a greatly loved child of God. You see, favor is the byproduct of love, and love comes through adoption, and adoption conquers my orphan spirit. That sin, I was born into the orphanage of sin, estranged from God, but he called out my name, favored me, favored you, called you, and made you his, adopted you into his family, and lavished his love on you. And favor is the byproduct of a loved soul. You're highly favored. The wonderful Holy Spirit now lives in you, guiding, empowering, comforting, healing, restoring, renewing, teaching, and helping your life. The whole Old Testament, God lived in a golden box, wood covered with gold, called the Ark of the Covenant, carried on the shoulders of priests. And God lived in this box because the glory of God abided there, abode there, because God could not dwell in the unregenerated spirit of man. And so Jesus is so excited. He said, I'm leaving. His last words, I'm leaving, but I'm sending another comforter. And he's not going to live in a box. And you don't have to come down Central Avenue and come into a temple. No, you are the temple. The Holy Spirit's going to live in you. You are the temple. This building is not the church. You are the church. We've gathered together in a building, but we are the church. We're the carriers of God's glory. You are highly favored. You've been redeemed from sin and its destructive consequences. Woohoo! You are highly favored. You've been delivered from the power of the world. Now, in case you're not noticing, the world's getting crazier and crazier. And its authoritative, conforming influence is increasing. But Jesus said, don't worry about that. You're mine. My blood saved you. My favor will keep you. I'll give you favor. You're highly favored. All the promises of God are yours. I don't read the Bible like, I don't read the book of Colossians and think, well, God, this was written to the church at Colossia. And so I have to read, you know, this is what God said to them. That's true. But the Bible says, all scripture is inspired by God. And so when I read it, the author inside of me, the Holy Ghost says, I wrote that to them, for those, but you can have that yourself. You can have that. So the Bible is a feast of faith, a feast of revelation for those that let the Holy Spirit work in your life. You're highly favored. You've been given a new nature that is stronger than your old nature. What does that mean? Your Christ nature has supremacy over your Adamic nature. Now you have to feed your new nature, the promises of God. Whatever nature you feed becomes powerful. But your new nature by design, whatever is born of God, first John 5:4 overcomes the world. I got a devil busting, world conquering, overcoming difficulty, new nature. You're highly favored. God has an awesome purpose, dream, and destiny for your life. Now this is, I just want to park there for a moment. Because when people aren't living in the constancy of feeling like they're favored, often they miss the message of their destiny because it sounds too good to be true. You're a history maker and a world shaker. Well, you don't know. That can't be me. Of course it's you. It's not you, Adam. It's you in Christ. It's not who you are as a human being. It's who you are as a new creature in Christ Jesus. So all of us, God has a purpose for every person. God has a destiny for every. You're predestined. You're highly favored. God's amazing grace has brought you out of Egypt, the world, the devil's control, slavery to sin, which is the world, and brought you into the incredible kingdom and family of God. That's chapter 6 of Exodus. It says, I brought you out so I could bring you in. The church has to stop parking in the wilderness, acting like that's all there is. There's a promised land. There's a promise. I wrote a whole book called The Joshua Generation. There's a promised land where God wants you to live an abundant life, a full life, a satisfying life, a victorious life. I want to tell you again, you're highly favored. It's amazing the behavior of a person who feels like they're favored in contrast to someone who doesn't. You with me? I'll use a sports metaphor, even though you don't probably believe I ever played sports. I did. In college especially, I loved taking the last shot. Game's tied, we're behind by one, because I always believed it would go in. Call it stupid favor. You know, God's with me, I'm anointed, I'm pretty good. Give me the ball. All the rest goes, give him the ball. He's not afraid. He's not afraid of this moment. That's what favor does. Makes you a risk taker. Well, I've always wanted to start a business. Why haven't you? Well, I just don't know. I'm waiting for everything to get right. Well, that's called heaven. That's a long wait, baby. No. You can't wait for things to get right out there. If they're right in here, that's God telling you, go for it. You're highly favored. Ah, heaven is real and it's your eternal home. I just want to remind you, if Christ doesn't come, we're going to heaven by physical death. And it's not a punishment. Paul, who tasted paradise, said this: to die is gain, baby. To live is Christ. But man, I've seen what's there. I've seen what's there. You're highly, elbow someone and say, I'm highly favored. Come on, elbow someone the other way and say, I'm highly favored. Okay, point number two. I beat that horse to death, but it needed to be beat. Point number two, you can't go out empty-handed. You shall not, God says, I'm going to pay you back in one day for 400 years of lost wages. You'll plunder. If you will trust God in your story, if you will look to God and not to people, not to government solutions, I'm for righteous laws, but when we put our trust in government, we're guaranteed to be disappointed. When we put our trust in God, we're guaranteed to never be disappointed. A little difference, okay? But God in your story wants to unleash some reparation. What does that mean? God snaps his fingers, and 2 decades worth of losses are made up. He snaps his fingers, and your family in disarray gets healed. He snaps his fingers, and people that have been mad at you for 40 years suddenly have a change. God can change all of that. You can't leave empty-handed. Jesus said in John 15, his last kind of last sermon, he said, I no longer call you servants. Because a servant doesn't really know what's going on. They know what they're supposed to do. They don't know why they're doing it. But I call you my friends. Our former worship leader, co-wrote that song, I'm a Friend of God. I am a friend. What I loved most about that song is how it offended half the body of Christ.
How dare they sing like that? How dare they tell the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God, the sovereign creator, how dare they talk to him like Jesus said to? Excuse me if I actually believe the Bible. Excuse me. He said I could be his friend. Now I'm in awe and reverence and had the fear of God about Christ and about who God is, but I'm also walking in friendship with God. For all things I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Next verse, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I chose you. That every believer here is chosen and appointed you, ordained you, that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Here's Jesus said, I chose you to be history makers and world shakers. To pray prayers that change everything. Whatever you ask. Whatever you ask. Of course, according to the will of God. I know that's a part of it. An important part. But the church is not guilty of praying too many big prayers. We haven't fallen to the trap. No. Beautiful Mary. We're opposites. And I appreciate all the opposite things she has. And she tolerates all. But she appreciates all the. So when I go shopping with her, this always happens, she'll pull right up to the closest door to the mall. And I'll say, honey, the whole parking lot's full. She says, I have parking lot fever. And sure enough, someone will pull out, and she'll pull right there in the first spot, second spot, and then she'll look over me. The Lord loves me. So I was talking to the Lord about that issue, and the Lord kind of chastised me. He said, you know, you act like I don't care about that thing your wife asks for. He said, I love it when my children ask and pray and believe for small things. As long as they're asking, believing, and praying for big things too. Yes, you can have a close parking space, but also ask God to save your whole city. Save your whole family. Ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance. Uttermost parts of the earth for your possession, Psalm 2. This same idea in verses 7 and 8. Jesus said this in John 7, or 15, 7. He said, if you abide in me, the condition, if you abide in me, worship and prayer, and my words abide in you, meditation and Bible study. So here's the union of God's spirit and presence, his word and his spirit. Here's what he said. You will ask what you will, and it shall be done. So Jesus said, what happens when the Holy Spirit indwells you and the word of God abides in you? Desires will be formed that are in concert with my will. And you'll pray those desires and I'll fulfill them. You have to stay with me because God wants to awaken kingdom desires in you where he can create a different outcome compared to how things look. The word shall be done is geomene. Geomene means to create something from nothing. I love talking about just stepping on every religious. Well, that's all in God's purview. I know, but God said, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you my spirit. I'm giving you my word. When they start collaborating inside of you, you're going to pray things that change things. You'll ask what you will. Herein, next verse, is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my... Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified, that you have tons of answered prayers. Tons of miracles. Tons of souls saved. Herein is my Father glorified. So Jesus said, I want you to live with so much favor, thinking like a friend, acting like a son and a daughter, praying in concert with that kind of identity. You can tell what a person believes about God by what they pray, by what they ask for. I had a big son in my church. We're taking this city in the name of the Lord when I first started pastoring here in town years ago. Hey, a guest speaker come and he says, you should take that sign down because you're not taking this city by yourself. I said, I didn't say by myself, but you know, I said, I'm a city taker. He said, well, son, the ministry will humble you and you'll find out, blah, 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 blah. Verbalized religious garbage. Blah, 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 blah. You ever talk with someone that said so much but didn't say anything? It's not good. But I said, but God spoke to me that sentence. He spoke to me those words. Okay. Standing in the way of Israel experiencing and enjoying the wonders of the land of milk and honey, which is a portrait of living the abundant life in the kingdom of God, were occupying nations that had to be overcome and conquered and expelled before Israel could experience the entirety of her inheritance. So please listen to me. God left them there on purpose. Dedicating babies is my favorite. Last Sunday we did it again. most gorgeous babies. Had a little Hispanic baby, already had a mustache and a beard last week. I mean, beautiful, unbelievable, beautiful babies. And it's kind of true. And the, you know, at the beginning of this pandemic, God spoke to me. He said, this generation that's being born are giant slayers. And tell their parents not to be afraid of raising a child in this moment in history, because God ordained that to happen. So we are alive in a time when it seems like giants are on the rampage and they're everywhere, multiplying all kinds of things. And if we're not careful, we'll misdiagnose what that means. What that means is an opportunity for the body of Christ to see how great God is. Man, oh man. Okay. I listed, God specifically identified six nations. He said, God said to them, you're going to that land where the Canaanites are, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, all the otherites. And so I just did a simple word study. And so every one of those nations, you know, has kind of a great name for us to understand. Canaanites, they were merchant traders. It means greed. The Hittites, their name means terror. Those that cause terror. It's the spirit of fear. Anybody agree with me that there's some fear happening? Our media has waged psychological warfare, along with many in the government, against the minds of this generation. And people are living permanently terrorized. It's unbelievable. And you should never, listen, if someone's doing a behavior that you know they don't need, it's a fear-based behavior, don't mock for them, pray for them. Pray for them because they're suffering. Okay, so fear, the next nation down, Amorites, they were mountain dwellers, means pride, rebellion. Perizzites, unwalled, means immorality, a person that's not protected by the guidance and government of moral sanctity. Then the Hivites means a serpent, to live a life, really the spirit of humanism. And the Jebusites, to beat someone down, discouragement. So stay with me. So God says, I'm giving you favor to conquer greed and fear and immorality and humanism. I'm giving you favor to conquer discouragement. I'm giving you favor to conquer confusion and cultural death. It doesn't matter. The favor I've given you is going to help you not just overcome that, but transform the environment that is defeating, oppressing, and destroying people's lives. That kind of favor. God has graced and favored you to overcome all the enemies of the promised land. In Romans 5:17, it's one of my favorite verses. I almost quote this every day to myself. And it talks about what God has done for us in Christ. The victory of the cross, the triumph of Christ, the blessings of grace. And it says this, for if by one man's offense, Paul's making a contrasting argument, if this is true, this is more true, if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, that's Adam, his sin causing death, causing us to be born in sin, much more, multiplying sign, much more those who receive abundance of grace. The New Testament word for grace is charis. It literally means unmerited favor. Those that have received abundance of favor and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through the one, Christ Jesus. Now, okay, stay with me because I don't want to be unfairly criticized by evangelical critics. I want them to criticize the truth and not exaggeration. So the Word of God says, grace and righteousness allow you to conquer and rule over the world. What's in the world? All that's in the world. You know? Pride, greed, immorality, fear, humanism, discouragement. That I can rule over those things by the gift of God's righteousness and by the power of abiding grace and favor. So everything I conquer in here, God gives me authority to conquer out there. When you conquer the beast of fear, God's not giving you the spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. When you conquer fear in here, you can help people be free from fear out there. And you'll take actions that demonstrate fearless living. Fearless living. Fearless living. So for everything that world's happening, all the confusion, all the chaos, all the moral anarchy, all the untruths, all the deception, all that stuff, God says, I want you to let my spirit, my word, my righteousness, my favor, my grace so reign in your life that you conquer its grip on you. And when you conquer that grip, the grip of those things on you, you can help people be set free from it conquering them. It just takes one freed person to free a whole city. One freed person can bring deliverance to their whole family. One example, one prayer, one faith, one person walking in the high caliber of the favor of God can unleash a torrent of heavenly blessings, heavenly abundance, heavenly miraculous consequences. Everywhere you go, God wants you to feel like you're a world conqueror. You're a history maker. Your prayer, your faith, your trust, your obedience is changing the realities of this world. I believe Christ is coming soon, but he's not coming for his church hiding behind a piano, shut off from the world. He's coming for a glorious church, fulfilling her mandate, walking in her purpose, living in the bounty of continual favor. What would your life be like if you felt like you were highly favored? If you felt like, no matter what they do for you at the job, they're messing with you, I'm highly favored, things are going to change. No matter the misbehavior or dysfunction of your family, I'm highly favored, God's going to turn this around somehow, some way, someday. No matter what's happening in the world, acting crazy, I'm highly favored, I'm not going to let them determine. God says, oh, by the way, favored people never leave a season empty-handed. Mary will kiss me in the forehead and say, I love the man you've become. And she talks about our journey. So we've had an interesting journey. So years ago, I was gripped by self-pity. I was in a real depression. I knew I was depressed because I was finishing my doctorate in psychology. And I was definitely, I got that too, lovely. Oh, interesting, got that one, that's not that, praise God. So I found out that when I lost hope and my belief in God's love for me was shaken, that all these negative emotions flooded into me. But when I renewed my mind and re-experienced God's love on a continual basis, it conquered my fear, it rebuilt my hope, and it gave me favor enough to believe that I had a future. I don't know your story. I had a whole freaking city give up on me. I don't know your story. I mean, front page things. You know, it's over for him. 37. It's over for Maiden. Felt that way until I started hanging around my friend. When all my other friends had left, he stayed. Stayed. And he told me, listen, he so reassured and reasserted the position of his love in me and rebuilt my identity. It restored my hope. It renewed my favor. And so we started this church 19 years ago. A church was for sale on 19th Avenue. We found out the elders were meeting. Pamela Carter told us about it. It wasn't listed yet. And so it was the Church of Christ Church. We knocked on the door. And I said, God wants me to have this building. I said to the elder board. They were excited. Lovely Church of Christ people. Non-musical. Oh, yeah, baby. And so I came into the room and they said, well, how much money you got? I said, I got nothing. How are you going to buy this building? Favor. The first act of favor was, I said, in this same meeting, I said, you guys want $9 million? I know it's worth it. What's the least amount I can give you without dishonoring you? They kicked me out. They brought me back in. They said $6 million. I said, I got favor for $6 million. I didn't have $6. Favor created faith to take a risk without money. And what happened was, God honored my faith, supplied the money, and gave us that miracle building. Now, here's my whole point. Favor will take you places that your mind would never take you. Your intelligence, your deductive thinking, your strategic guide. Favor will take you places where you do stupid stuff. Stupid favor. You with me? Mary and I dreamed about traveling the world. We want to travel the world. Why didn't you? Didn't have no money. The last 10 years, I've been all over the world like 20 times, around the world, and not paid for one trip. Now, of course, I'm actually working on these trips, but still, it's traveling. The amazing places, unbelievable. And all these things I'm at, I'll be standing in a place and I go, favor brought me here. Favor. I shouldn't be here. Better preachers, better prophets. I'm here because of favor. I'm highly favored. I'm highly favored. Now, I had to wage a fierce internal battle to win back my belief that I was favored. Because I felt so unfavored, I wrote a country western album, Pastor Kenneth. The world's first song. Now that you've used me up, you're ready to leave me alone. First line of my first song. Say it again, I'm highly favored. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm highly favored. Turn to the person behind you and say, you're highly favored. Turn to the person in front of you and say, you're highly favored. Someone shout, we're all highly favored. Thank you for listening today. Would you stand to your feet, please? Prayer team, if you join me at the altar, God, thank you for this amazing grace, this favor that you've given us. There's no explanation except favor. We're so grateful. We're so thankful for all you've done for because of Jesus. All you're doing now. Restore, rebuild, God, our confidence in the dimension of your favor, the depth of your favor, the quality of your favor in our hearts. So we start doing things people can't believe we're doing. Thank you, God, for your favor. Come on, let's just take a moment. Thank you, Jesus.